You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
All right, Miami!
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good afternoon, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Sunday, March 17th, Happy St. Patrick's Day. I am your host, Mike Oliva. Flying solo today as we got some tidbits to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk about Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, and their time frame to return. And not surprising, we have more Tyreek Hill off the field drama I'm going to dive into and discuss as well. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, Podchaser, Audible, we're on all the platforms. If there's a podcasting platform and you're listening to the show, we're on it. Subscribe to the channel, because as I've been saying, this offseason we're going to have shows pretty much every day of the week in this free agency period buzz and in the draft buzz. Whenever news breaks, we're there with the show. Some days we got multiple shows. We have you covered when it comes to podcasting and the Miami Dolphins like no other outlet. You don't want to miss a show. And if you subscribe to wherever you're listening, once a new show drops, you'll be notified on your smart device and you can listen. So subscribe to us on wherever you're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. All right, let's talk about this story that was in the South Florida Sun Sentinel on Sunday from Chris Perkins, who covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. And it's one to give fans of the Dolphins a little bit of hope here, in that Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, according to this article report, that there's some hope that they actually might be ready for week one of the NFL season and be ready to go when the season kicks off in September. And I think in the case of Jalen Phillips, that's somewhat realistic. I think with Chubb, though, it's unlikely, but maybe Chubb won't be out as long as we thought. You know, I've been saying this offseason, you know, plan on not having Jalen Phillips back until probably mid-late October. Maybe that time frame might be moved up a little bit from what we're hearing in this report. With Chubb, I was expecting him, you know, probably early December at the earliest, and even then, if the Dolphins' record is not good, what's the point even having him come back? Just let him rest up for 2025. But there's some hope here, I would say, that both these guys might be back on the field sooner rather than later. So let's dive into this. Now, Chris Perkins did say up front that he did not talk to any medical professionals or any doctors. He spoke to two of the newest players on the Dolphins who had the same injuries and got their feedback on the time frame of their return. First, he spoke to tight end Jody Fortson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, signed with Miami last week, and he had the same injury as Jalen Phillips, which was the Achilles. And a time frame for an Achilles injury is 6 to 9 months. Fortson returned in 6 months, at the low end of that. So if you look at what Jalen Phillips, he hurt his Achilles the day after Thanksgiving on Friday, November 24th, had surgery a few days later. So 6 month return for him would be May 24th. That puts him in training camp, probably ready to go. And yeah, it could be realistic. He's ready to go by week one if Jalen Phillips is more closer to the 6 month mark. Now, if he's closer to the 9 month mark, that means he'd be ready to go by August 24th. that's only a couple weeks prior to the season. Figure maybe he might miss, you know, a first handful of games, but he's maybe ready to go by the end of September. Still, best, I would say, a better situation than we had, you know, originally thought. But here's the deal. And that was Jody Fortson, who came back in 6 months. Each player is different. Each player's body reacts differently to surgery, rehab, treatment, and recovery time. So what worked for Jody Fortson might not work for Jalen Phillips. But I think this does give us what Chris Perkins was trying to articulate here in this article, which he did a very good job of, was just, you know, what we're looking at time frame wise. And yeah, there is a chance that, you know, Jalen Phillips could be ready to go by week one. And he could be ready, and he could be game ready, which is more important. Just being recovered and ready to go, you know, is great, but has he gone through any drills in training camp? Has he had any practices with pads? Has he played any preseason games? Anything like that. That doesn't mean you're game ready by week one in September, but, you know, even if he's back by like week two, three, four, five, that's still way better than we originally had thought. Now, again, we don't know. And if he's not on that 6 month time frame, it's closer to nine. Like I said, probably still going to miss time. But I think there's growing optimism, let's just say, that Jalen Phillips might be ready earlier this season than we thought, even if it's not week one. Now, with Bradley Chubb, this one's a little bit different. ACL injuries are more severe. That has, instead of a 6 to 9 month recovery time, you're looking at 9 to 12 months. And for this, Chris Perkins spoke to Jordan Brooks from the Seattle Seahawks, recently signed with the Dolphins. And Jordan Brooks, he didn't just beat the 9 to 12 months. He got back on the field in 8 months, which honestly, probably the exception, not the norm. But looking at the time frame here, Bradley Chubb was hurt on New Year's Eve, December 31st, in the game against the Ravens. 9 months from that date is August 31st. So yes, prior to week one, prior to September. If you're looking, obviously, 12 months, you're looking same day as he got injured. That would be December 31st, 2024, which is like the end of the season for the Dolphins. So this one, Jalen Phillips, you could sell me if he gets ahead on his rehab, if he has the right treatments and he's ready to go by like early September, mid-September, I can buy that. The Bradley Chubb one, look, Jordan Brooks, just because he came back in 8 months doesn't mean every player will come back from an ACL injury in 8 months. That's not normal. So I think with Chubb, it's probably a more fluid situation. And, you know, even if he's back in 10 months, you know, that's probably like October-ish. That's still not bad. Even if it's 11 months, that's like November-ish, maybe midway through the season, still not bad. But if this does go to 12 months, then he might not play this year, obviously, because 12 months is 1 year from the injury, which is the end of December. And again, as I said, every person reacts differently here. And another part of this article I found very interesting was Chris Perkins put in this, and I'm just going to read it straight from his article. A study was published a year ago in Orthopedic Journal of Sports Medicine regarding NFL players who sustained ACL injuries between 2013 and 2018. And it found that NFL players are severely affected by ACL injuries, with only a 28.5% still active and in the league 3 years after the injury. With running backs, defensive linemen, and linebackers performed worst after the injury. So, Chubb has an ACL injury. And as this report says here by the Orthopedic Journal of Sports Medicine, when players have that ACL injury, they're out of the league within 3 years. Only 28.5% are still active. And Chubb obviously is a quote-unquote linebacker or end, which those are the three worst positions to try to come back from an ACL injury. So he's got all that working against him. And so I just want to throw that out there for a little bit of context here with Chubb, why I wouldn't get hopes up with Chubb here like I would with Jalen Phillips. And there's also another factor here that nobody's really talking about, but kind of needs to be said, so I'm just going to mention it. Bradley Chubb has already got his payday. Bradley Chubb's got his money in the bank. He's made his money. He's clearly off his rookie deal. He's got the big payday. He is financially secure in his future, in his post-football future, with all the money he's been paid in his last guaranteed contract and the extension he got from the Dolphins and all that stuff. Jalen Phillips isn't. Jalen Phillips is still on his rookie contract. He will have the fifth-year option picked up here in the next month or so. Maybe he gets an extension this offseason, maybe not. Maybe the Dolphins want to see how he sort of recovers from this. But the fact Jalen Phillips has not gotten that big life-changing money payday yet probably will affect the mindsets here. Now, look, I'm not saying Chubb's not going to work hard to get back. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Chubb's gotten his money. He might be a little more cautious in the rehab, and he gets back when he gets back, and that's just what it is. Where Jalen Phillips is hungry. Jalen Phillips wants that big payday, and he wants to get on the field to show he is worthy of that big payday, and he wants it, you know, ASAP. So the money issue here, and one guy has a bunch of money in the bank, one guy doesn't, is a factor in all of this that I think it's kind of something underlying that we all kind of know in the back of our heads, but we don't really want to talk about out loud. So I just wanted to mention it real quick. But, you know, good news here, if you're a fan of the Dolphins like we all are, that talking to other players, because you can talk to all the doctors in the world, but players know. Players who've been through this, they've had the same injuries, they know. And while every injury is not the same and every person reacts not the same, you know, we saw with Jordan Brooks, he goes, look, they can say this is a 9 to 12 month injury. I was back in 8. Okay, I was back in 8 months. And I think he got hurt, like, I might be wrong, but I believe he got hurt in Seattle, like, the last, like, week 17 or week 18, and he was back week 1 the next year with an ACL. So, for him, I mean, again, maybe his body just responded, you know, great to the surgery and the rehab and all that stuff, and he was able to come back sooner, which is outstanding for him, but not every player might have that. And with Jalen Phillips, I mean, he had the same injury that obviously Aaron Rodgers had. Quarterback's a little different than someone who's like a linebacker edge rusher. And there was talk, obviously, of Rodgers, which we all know, was going to come back last year if he got hurt week 1 at some point. If the Jets had a reason for him to come back, he never had to because their season was so bad. But, you know, some guys do rehab quicker than others. And for Jalen Phillips, just being an Achilles, which, you know, just an Achilles, a 6 to 9 month time frame, maybe he is ahead. And there has been some videos in recent days and weeks of on social media of Jalen showing clips of him rehabbing, walking on a treadmill, doing things on one leg and sort of, you know, being involved in that rehab process. So, you know, fingers crossed, maybe we get, you know, both of them being out for even half the season would sabotage the 2024 Miami Dolphins season. I don't care how much of a diehard optimistic fan you are. Even you have to admit, not having either one of those two in September, October, you know, would be a huge loss. Shaq Barrett's a nice player. He's past his prime, and you're hoping he's got one more year left in the tank. Jordan Brooks is a nice player. He's not much of an edge rusher, sack guy. Anthony Walker, a sack guy. If they can have Jalen Phillips back in September at any point, that's a huge positive for the Dolphins and at least gives them a puncher's chance here in 2024 to get back to the playoffs, I feel. Because if they're both out most of the season, I don't know how this team overcomes that. So good news here with this report from Chris Perkins. I thought, you know, it does sort of put realistic time frames on this when he's talked to other players who had similar injuries in their time frame to return. Okay, this next story, again, I always say this. This podcast covers the Miami Dolphins, good and bad. We do not pick news stories. We do not filter news stories. We talk about what's happening in the news. And at times, it's always not fun, and it's kind of uncomfortable. And this is one of those stories, is Tyreek Hill has had another off-the-field situation. And, you know, we have to cover it because these off-the-field type situations could at some point, and who knows, maybe with this one, have on-the-field ramifications. I'm just so over talking about this guy and his off-the-field issues. It's one thing after another. And again, is Tyreek making headlines for stuff that's not happening on the field? It's never a dull moment. You can't go 2 to 3 weeks without something popping up. And yes, this latest one did happen in January, on January 30th, but it's coming to light now. And this one is a little bit more, in my eyes, in my opinion, a little bit more disturbing than some of the other ones in recent times. Per a police report that the Miami Herald uncovered on January 30th, police were called to the home of Tyreek Hill. Hill and his wife, Keta Vaccaro, were arguing about a post-nuptial agreement and when Hill filed the paperwork for a divorce, which became whole thing. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. It's on file. No, I didn't. They were arguing about that. And while they were arguing, Vaccaro was on the phone at the time to her cousin. Vaccaro said she refused to sign the postnuptial agreement and felt threatened, verbally abused, and bullied. Vaccaro said Hill also smashed an unlit cigar in her face. And Hill claimed, and Hill is saying, I didn't smash it in her face. They just flicked the cigar at her, and he's saying it didn't hit her. And because there are conflicting stories and there's no evidence of a crime being occurred, no arrest was made. And, you know, I know there's a segment of Dolphins fan who just always, you know, nothing happened, who cares, don't care. But, look, there's a larger issue here, and this is becoming a problem. Just a couple weeks ago, you had Tyreek Hill now being sued by a plus-size model because he broke her leg in the backyard when they were doing football drills for social media clips or something, and things got out of hand, and he landed on her wrong, and he broke her leg. 2023, you had the marina incident, which he struck an elderly man in the back of the head who worked at the marina, and he had to meet with the NFL commissioner over it. He had us settle with the man he hit, and he wasn't suspended, but he did have to meet with the commissioner because you just can't go around town striking people in the back of the head, whether it's a light love tap or it's a punch. That's not normal. You can't do that. So there was that. In 2023, he also got two different girls pregnant, and then he had two paternity suits filed against him from each of the females because he wasn't paying child support and he wasn't taking claim of being the father, even though there was proof he was. He just settled one of the paternity suits last month, in which he did admit he's the father and he will pay child support, but it's always something. This never ends. This is not a normal lifestyle. This is the Antonio Brown career path to being so toxic you are untouchable by NFL teams. Tyreek Hill is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He was amazing last season on the field. He was amazing his first season in Miami on the field. He's been amazing every season, whether with the Chiefs or Dolphins on the field. But this just becomes exhausting after a while. And I'm sure the Miami Dolphins organization, Mr. Ross, the front office, even though they won't say it publicly, are also exhausted by this as well. And coming into this offseason, the Miami Dolphins were in serious salary cap situation, and some of the ways they were going to sort of get under the cap and become cap compliant was obviously restructure some of the larger contracts they had on their roster. They did that with Tron Armstead. They did it with Jalen Ramsey, and people thought they were going to also do it possibly with Bradley Chubb, but the injury kind of, you know, puts a monkey wrench into that, but also with Tyreek Hill because he makes so much money and Tyreek's so great. You want him here long-term. They never restructured Tyreek Hill, especially last week when they were doing everything to become cap compliant. And look, they still could. I'm not saying it's not out of the realm. It might happen. But now I'm starting to wonder as, you know, they restructured guys like Ingold and Smythe and Armstead and Ramsey to become cap compliant. They didn't restructure Tyreek Hill. And I'm wondering if, because this just, even though it happened in January, this story, you know, came to light today. So I'm sure the Dolphins knew about it in January. And I'm wondering if the reason they didn't restructure Tyreek Hill is they see they do not want to be tied to this guy any longer than they have to. Now, Miami cannot cut Tyreek Hill. They cannot trade for him because he makes way too much money. And let's be honest, who the hell is going to trade for this? I mean, you're trading for a soap opera at this point. But I think unless they restructure him in the coming days, weeks, and months, I'm thinking part of the reason they didn't restructure him, because it's an easy restructure to open up a bunch of money under the cap, was they just want to move on from the whole Tyreek Hill experience at this point. And they will not be able to move on until after 2026. Miami is, you know, tied to him for the 2024 season. They're tied to him for the 2025 season. After 2025, they can cut him. It's $11 million of dead money on the cap in 2026. But with the salary cap continuing to go up, you can live with $11 million of dead money on the cap for Hill at that point. Cutting him like now or after this upcoming year, it's way more money. It's not feasible. It's not going to happen. So they're tied to him because, you know, at this point, it's just a crazier headline week after week after week. So that is what it is. Now, in this Miami Herald story that kind of broke here with this news, Tyreek is now saying, you know, he's trying to, quote-unquote, clean up his life. And he's trying to fix his relationship with God, which is all the right things to say. But again, actions speak louder than words. And it's like, if this was like the first time Tyreek had some sort of an incident, or the second time, you could say, okay, made a couple mistakes, now he's trying to clean up his life. When this is like the 50th off-the-field incident in this guy's short NFL career, and like the fifth or sixth major headline in less than 12 months, there becomes a point where it's like, come on, man. Really? I mean, come on. And it's like, he can say he's trying to clean up his life. He can say he's trying to fix his relationship with God. And it all sounds great. And some people out there will buy it. Me, as I said, actions speak louder than words. Just don't make headlines until ever again, really, unless it's for something on the field. This off-the-field nonsense has to stop. And it's just funny because I remember, and I think back a couple years ago when there was all the rumors and all the speculation and the Dolphins were trying to actively trade for Deshaun Watson when he had all of his off-the-field issues. You know, whether you wanted them to trade for him or not, there was a vocal social media cult of fans of the Dolphins who said, this is more important than football. I do not want to root for Deshaun Watson. I am a father. I am a father of girls. And if this happened to my daughter or my wife, I could not root for anyone who did something like that. They're clutching their pearls, blah, blah, blah. This is more important than football. And yes, what Watson did, allegedly, is disgusting. But Tyreek Hill has, like, you know, maybe you can put this on a level not as bad. It's got, like, a million things that at some point, if you're going to hold the moral high ground with Watson, you better be consistent and hold the moral high ground here with Tyreek Hill. If he smashed an unlit cigarette in his wife's face, well, if his wife is your daughter, your sister, your whatever, you know, you'd be outraged. And it's not funny. I don't care if it's unlit. It's not, and he can say, I flicked it. Well, that ain't cool either. Just like the same. Why is he having children? You know, he's got all these children flying around. And he's, you know, he's got a plus-size model in his backyard. And her leg breaks. And it's like, it's always something. And it's like, when does it end? Which leads to the next phase of this conversation, which I sort of spoke about. I spoke about this in passing on the show I did Saturday night when I spoke about Miami's needs on the offensive line and the defensive line. And I said, you know, talking about the draft, how they might look to fill one or two of those spots there. And I said, but don't count out wide receiver. That's a conversation for another day. I didn't plan on having it today, but this is why I'm going to have it today. Because as I've been saying this offseason, there are two types of Miami Dolphins fans. Fans who know wide receiver is a need for this team, and then fans who are clueless. And it is a need for many reasons. Number one, the Dolphins need dummy insurance for when Tyreek Hill has his next off-the-field incident, which can't be laughed off or is far more serious than his previous ones, which at some point, this one of these things are going to get him suspended for any amount of time. And you better have insurance for when that happens. Because, I'm sorry, Braxton Berrios ain't stepping up to be an NFL starter. If they bring back Robbie Chosen, he ain't stepping up to fill that role as an NFL starter. Or if they re-sign a River Craycraft, he ain't stepping up to be that role. You need dummy insurance for Tyreek Hill. That's number one. Number two, we saw last season when Hill or Waddle went down, which they did from like November-ish on, roughly. They each went down with their own little injuries. When one of them are out of the game, the offense completely changed and struggled. When both are out of the game, the offense really changed and it struggled. When both were on the field after and far less than 100%, Tyreek Hill never recovered from the injury on Monday Night Football versus the Titans. He missed a game. He came back. He wasn't 100% when he came back. Waddle got hurt on, what, Christmas Eve? He got hurt early in the season, but then he got hurt again Christmas Eve versus the Cowboys. He was never the same after that. When those two guys were on the field together, less than 100%, the offense struggled. The Dolphins didn't have any other wide receiver last year, whether it was Chase Claypool, Braxton Berrios, Chosen Anderson, whatever his name is, who could step up and do anything. And I know some people think Jonnu Smith at tight end, that sign, is the answer. It's not. Yes, Jonnu Smith is more of a factor in the passing game, but this Mike McDaniel offense is wide receiver based. It is wide receiver heavy. Jonnu Smith will have a role, and it'll be a role that we haven't seen from a tight end probably since Mike McDaniel got here, but they need more than two capable wide receivers on this team. So if at pick 21, the Miami Dolphins want to go with Brian Thomas Jr. or Xavier Worthy or Ladd McConkey or Troy Franklin, don't be mad. That's actually might be a very smart pick for two reasons. One, again, with Hill, don't know what the hell's going to go on with him moving forward. I mean, we're all going to wake up one day and see a headline or get an alert on our phone that he did something that's just like either reprehensible or we'll get him suspended. And two, Jalen Waddle, the Dolphins have to pick up his fifth-year option by like May 2nd or so. They will. And what's his long-term future in Miami? We saw this week with the deal with Calvin Ridley how much these wide receivers are now going to be getting paid. Waddle's going to want huge money. Chris Greer just sort of, in my opinion at least, fumbled this with Wilkins and Robert Hunt, not being able to lock them up long-term. Do you have faith Chris Greer is going to be able to handle this with Waddle, or will he fumble it again to where we're going to lose Waddle in like two seasons roughly? The Dolphins need a number three wide receiver. Because moving, one, they need him for on the field this year to make this offense, I think, potent, more potent than it was last year, and have an ability to sustain an injury to Hill or Waddle, where they might have to play a month or so less than 100%, or they might have to miss a game or two or three, and also just be a true number three wide receiver on the field next to Hill and Waddle to make this, to open up this offense even more. But also, if Hill's going to be gone in 2 years, if Waddle's going to also possibly be gone in 2 years because they just can't afford him or anything. There you go. You're going to want someone in the pipeline who's not a rookie, still on a rookie contract, who can be that, you know, next wide receiver in line to step up, be a number one. So that's why I'm not saying they're going to take a wide receiver in round one. I'm just saying don't be shocked if they do. I still think, and again, it's March 17th. It's St. Patrick's Day. A lot can change. If you put today a gun to my head, Miami in round one is either going to take a defensive tackle slash defensive end spot, someone to help replace Wilkins and Raekwon in that role, or they'll take an offensive tackle who they'll play 1 year at guard then move out to offensive tackle, or they'll take a wide receiver. I don't see him taking a corner. I don't see him taking a safety. I don't see him taking a linebacker. I don't see him taking a center guard. I mean, they could be a little surprised. I see them going at one of those three spots because I think who's gonna step in and be like a long-term answer to fill in for Wilkins and Raekwon. And that, I mean, I know you're trying to replace two of those guys with one, but someone who's a presence on the front three that I think offensive tackle for the reason I said, because Armstead's got to have someone behind him, and we still haven't re-signed Lamb yet. Even if we do, you know, this is probably Armstead's final year in Miami. So you can play that person 1 year at left guard. Next year, he's your left tackle of the future. You have a fifth-year option on him. Offensive tackles make a ton of money. You want a fifth-year option on an offensive tackle, not so much on a center or guard. There's that. And then wide receiver for all of these reasons. Yes, when Hill and Waddle are on the field together, healthy 100%, they are electric. Miami still needs a viable number three. And because Waddle and his contract coming up, and Hill and everything that surrounds Tyreek Hill these days, they need dummy insurance for him. So, yeah, hopefully, I'm going to say hopefully this is the last of the Tyreek Hill crazy headlines we'll see this offseason. If I had a bet on it, no. But hopefully Tyreek, when he says, you know, trying to fix his relationship with God, he's trying to clean up his life, he means it, and it's not just lip service he was told to say by PR people or agents or anything like that. Let's hope he means it, because he can say it. That don't make it true. Great player, fun to watch, but man, it's just gets exhausting after some time. So that's all for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to go to the website, dolphinstalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up. We got some latest mock drafts up with the Dolphins from NBC, CBS, you know, reputable outlets. It's mock drafts. I know it's not a science. It's more fun, but it's the offseason. Let's pass time with fun. Check out those mock drafts. See who they have the Dolphins taking. We got stuff up on the compensatory picks where Miami stands right now. Right now, here, let me talk about that real quick. The Dolphins, as of today, we'll get three compensatory picks in 2025, two in round three, one in round seven. In round three, the loss of Wilkins and Hunt. Round seven, the loss of Deshaun Elliott. Some of the signings they've made had offset the comp picks they would have got for Raekwon, for Brandon Jones, and Andrew Van Ginkel, so they lost those. But the two in round three are really the ones they care about. The one in round seven, I'm almost positive they're probably going to sign someone else and they'll lose that one. But the two in round three, because at the end of round three, first part of round four, that's kind of what they're trying to hold on to at all costs. So just that's where things stand today. Again, if you've heard me in recent days, the comp picks are nice, but doesn't change the fact the Dolphins lost two studs in the trenches and won't be able to replace them in 2024. But you might as well get the comp picks at this point because why not? So be sure to follow us on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, at Dolphins Talk. Again, wherever you're listening to this podcast, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. On YouTube, if you put up any comments on our videos and the podcast, you know, tell me if you agree with me. Tell me if you don't agree with me, but be respectful. I'll try my best to respond to all the comments. I'm always open to a conversation. Maybe you can tell me something that'll get me to change my mind or take a look at a situation from a whole different angle. It's possible. I'm not saying I'm closed-minded on any of these things. Or if you agree with what I say, yeah, tell me that as well. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a back and forth on this stuff. And on Twitter, same thing on Twitter. Follow me there, at Dolphins Talk. Be respectful, and I'll have a conversation with anybody. If you're not respectful, conversations end real quick. I'm not no three strikes and you're out person. So, thanks for listening. Hope everyone had a great St. Patrick's Day and was safe. Folks, talk to you again next week. Maybe we'll have a show Monday. We'll see what happens. There seems to always be something in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Stay safe. And folks, don't forget, we still must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.